And we just were back from Thailand and Laos, got in on the 20th of October. That was about, what, 3 weeks ago or so. And so we did some amazing things there. We helped, Debbie was able to help a missionary that's going out through First Light. Her name is Jenna, and she has a call to the Middle East. And Jenna is now working with an organization called Partners Relief and Development that Josiah volunteered for during his gap year between high school and college. And so we got to know this organization really, really well. And they have a team that they're putting together to reach the Middle Eastern refugee people. And they've been to Mosul, they've been in Iraq. An amazing story that way. Long story short is Jenna got a chance to become a part of their Middle Eastern team. So Debbie was able to help Jenna in Chiang Mai get her settled up in her apartment and learn how to do the motorcycle thing, and helped her through some strep throat. Also, Debbie had to be some, you know, Mama Debs kind of looking after Jenna until she got established there. And then I was over in Laos with some of you that are reading our newsletters and following us on our newsletters. There's an organization in Kentucky called His Servants Ministries, and we've been involved with them like a strategic partnership in missions for about 10 years in Thailand and Laos. And so this was their initiative, but they invited us and our Thailand team to go into southern part of Laos. And there was about 60-plus people in part of the team. There were Americans, there were Laotians, there were Thai. And we did 106 cataract surgeries. The organization donated 2 phaco machines with the ultrasound sort of technique for surgery, cataract surgeries. And then a group of doctors went into the villages inside of Laos and just screened eyes. And then there was one dentist that pulled teeth, just trying to relieve pain out of people's mouths. And so that was an amazing 10 days there. And then the doctors came over on the Thai side, 3 doctors, 2 from the U.S., 1 from Laos. And we went into a city called Pattaya, which is just south of Bangkok. And it's a new area for us. It's actually the fastest growing economical zone in all of Thailand. Bangkok has maxed itself out with 11 plus million people. So the government is looking, okay, where can we grow this big city? So they're going down towards the southern part of Thailand. It's just south of Bangkok there, Chonburi and a place called Pattaya. And we're working with a church called Dayspring Church Thailand. And those of you that know our history, we all started from Dayspring Christian Center in Trentum, Pennsylvania, which one of their one of the pastors from Thailand came over and got ordained through Dayspring. His daughter is Joanna Perkins Samuels, married to Billy Samuels, who was our Bible school students 30 plus years ago. It's amazing how the Lord puts all this together. And even though Debbie and I have been in Thailand, as she said to you, since 1999, we really never did much with the Samuels, Billy and Joanna Samuels. We didn't really do much with them. And the Lord's kind of brought us full circle, and we find ourselves becoming spiritual parents to them. And they are amazing men and women of God. Now, Billy has Parkinson's, and we've been able to really step in a pastoral role in their life and helping him through all this. And I'd have to say, he's come to terms with his physical condition. And he said to the Lord, he said, God, if my healing, if my physical healing would somehow interrupt my relationship with you, then I don't want to be healed. Now, when you hear him talk, it's so different than anything you'd ever imagine. And he's as Pentecostal as the day is long. He prays for people, and they do get healed. And one day, several years ago, within the last 3 years, he was really at a bad place. And he said, God, look at me. Look at me. I, without taking my medicine, I can't even sit still. I'm a mess. My family's all stressed out. I'm putting them under so much stress. Every time I have to get in a car, I got to take a pill. Anytime somebody comes here, I'm so embarrassed. Thai people look at me. They think I'm on drugs. They think I'm some kind of alcoholic. He said, God, if there's anything out there, if you have anything for me to do, if there's something still left on this earth for me to do, would you please, Papa, would you please, Abba, would you please tell me what it is? Within 3 minutes, a foreigner, they have a little coffee shop called The Hiding Place in Pattaya. This foreigner pulls up in front of the coffee shop on a motorcycle and yells out, hey, is there a Bill Samuels here? And Billy kind of gets up and he wipes his eyes and he's like, excuse me? The guy says, Bill Samuels, is there a Bill Samuels here? So I'm Bill Samuels. The guy in the motorcycle says, I just come from the Catholic Church, and the father up there says, if I want to come to know Jesus, I'm supposed to come here and ask for a Bill Samuels. Now, folks, I'm telling you, now Billy, a Western Pennsylvania kind of guy.
Cornelius story.
It is, and it gets better. Now, Bill, because of Parkinson's, he can't do the loud music. Now, the church that his wife and his father-in-law planted and they're involved in, it's just very lively, and he can't go because of the sound, and he just gets all nervous. So he went to the Catholic church, went to the Catholic priest, and he says, look, Father, I've born a Catholic, but I'm born again. I know Jesus. Yeah. But I just would like to have the opportunity just to slip in here and maybe have communion, maybe once a month. That's kind of my tradition. That's what we do in our church. Yeah. And so the father goes, so you were a Catholic by birth. He says, yeah, Catholic church. Yeah, baptized Catholic. Yeah. Well, then officially, you could have communion here. No problem here. It's Christ's body. Of course, of course you can get in line with all the people here. And no problem. So they started a conversation, and this Catholic priest knows that Billy is completely 100% sold out to the gospel of Jesus Christ as a missionary living in Thailand. And so then what he said to Bill, he said, hey, you don't mind if every now and again, if I come across a foreigner here that's beyond my experience, do you mind if I just send them your way? Bill's like, send them. So Bill has, in a coffee shop, it's called the hiding place, where he sits every day and he prays, and guys come on their motorbikes, foreigners whose lives are messed up, broken marriages, on drugs, don't have visas for living in Thailand, and one by one by one by one by one, he's bringing these guys to Christ. And every once in a while he calls me Papa Dan, he says, Papa Dan, sometimes it's like I get like four guys and five guys, and I think, God, if these guys go, what am I going to do? God, you got to fill them up. You got to fill up the queue. Next, you know, three, four, five more guys. He's back up to 10, 12 guys, and he sits there, and he disciples his very first meeting and says, listen, I'm not here to judge you. I'm not here to tell you you're going to hell. It's not my place. I'm not here to tell you that because of decisions that you've made and all this stuff, your life's a mess. I'm not going to tell you that. But what I will tell you, and I will not compromise, number one, who Jesus is, who God is, what Jesus has done on the cross. And if you want to accept that, if you want to learn more about that, then I'm your guy. And he has some guys, they don't have any money. And there's one guy, I think he's 84 years old. What country he's from?
He's from the Netherlands.
From the Netherlands. And he has like one meal a day. It's all his budget allows. And so he comes every day, and Billy and Joanna feed him. They feed him. 84 years old. And you know, when I'm tempted to have a bad day, I think of Bill Samuels in Pattaya with Parkinson's, serving Jesus every day of his life. And by the grace of God, our lives have intersected in this season. And we're helping Joanna. Her father has now given her the church, appointed her as the pastor. She wants to kind of change the church from, let's say, a pyramid structure to more of a plurality of leadership and releasing ministry. And so we're getting more involved in helping her do that. And then she has a women's prison. She goes into a women's prison, actually the men's prison also, and she has a church inside the women's prison of 300 people that come voluntarily. Even though they're in prison, they come voluntarily, and they come and they do a service, and she preaches them, and that's her congregation. Now, the prison warden has asked her to put together like a 60-hour course. Of course, we're going to teach the Bible in there, but we're going to put some life skill stuff in there, and so that when these women get out of their incarceration, they could be sort of go back into society from a place of victory. And then what we have a chance to do is follow those lines all throughout Thailand, wherever these women go, and we can preach the gospel to them and help them start churches all over Thailand. And so Debbie and I are going in. Joanna wants to do it through First Light. And so we've put together these courses, and we're going to go in probably in February. and teach these women, start the training. And so at the end of their 60 hours training, we'll give them a certificate of completion, and we'll continue to walk with them through this time. So our role, our role in life and ministry is changing, and I'm so glad, and I love this season of my life. The Lord's put us, been crying out to God for some spiritual sons in Thailand, and been asking the Lord. We felt like in 2010 there was an abrupt course correction in our life and in our ministry. That's a whole other long story to get into. Some of it will come out today, and you'll see where I'm going. But I'm glad for it. I really hit a wall in my ministry, in my life personally. Hit a wall. John knows some of the story behind some of that. And you know, burnout is very, very real. It's very real. And I probably was on autopilot for about 2 years. And just doing things from memory, and just doing things because I felt as if I had to, and I felt as if because I was a missionary, I had to do certain things to meet certain expectations, which was all about some of the insecurities that I had been carrying because of a father wound that I felt as if I had been dealing with through my life. And how many of you know that it is a journey, and your heart and your emotions and your soul and your spirit and all that, it's like peeling an onion. And we do get levels of freedom, and then we walk in that. If we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, the scripture says we have fellowship one with another. Another little side note to that is, if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, he gives us more light. And revelation is like that. You walk until you don't know anymore, and then you do know, and you walk in that light. And so we feel like it's just amazing. I probably know more about my life in the last 7 years than I do in the previous 25. Now figure that out. And just letting God father me, praying a prayer that God would parent me. Now let's look there, because that's a good place to start. Let's go. I love this time of year, and I am a product of the prophetic word of God. Now, not just me, each and every one of us are a product of God's prophetic word, because the Bible is a prophetic book. We know from the book of Hebrews that it says that from ancient times God spoke to our servants. He spoke in prophets, he spoke in dreams, he spoke through angels, but in his last days he's spoken to us in his Son, in whom he appointed an heir of all things. He's the radiance of his glory, the exact representation of his power, and his nature, and upholds all things by the word of his power. Now, that's Jesus, who was the word that became flesh and dwelt among us. So Jesus is the word as he was the word, and still is the word as he lives in our life. And so, in essence, we are a product of the prophetic word, being born again by the living and abiding word of God. When God planted his seed in your heart, life came forth. And that plan that God had for you, in Ephesians chapter 1, that says that he chose us in himself before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. Now, I'm not a theologian, but that verse tells me, that verse predates Genesis 1:1. Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, right? That's what it says. The earth was without form. The earth was void, and darkness covered the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was brooding over the surface of the water. And God said, let there be light. Now, before God created the heavens and the earth, two realms God created, before he even did that, according to Ephesians chapter 1, he chose us in his Son, Jesus. Wow. Now, you link that with Psalm 139, which is becoming one of my favorite books in the Bible, that tells us that God knew our unformed substance. And so what I am on a pursuit to find out what was in that book that God wrote for the days of my life, even before there was not yet one of them. I am on a journey. I am hungering and thirsting to find out what that plan is. Because I'm learning that there are different variations. There's versions and variations. But God is always interested in the bottom line. He writes into our story all the mistakes, the shortcomings, what people do, what people don't do. And he's looking at all that. Because forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. But on the earth, it's still up for grabs. God's plan and purpose for our life is still up for grabs for us to take hold of it. For we are his workmanship, created in Jesus Christ unto good works that God has prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And oftentimes we like to say God is in control, but in one sense, he's not. He's in charge. Sovereignty equals in charge, not control, because man is a free moral agent. We have a free will. Man, I'm getting excited. Now listen, I've been walking with Jesus for 30-some years, and it's like I'm starting all over again. And God told me to go back to school when I turned 50, which was 6 years ago, and my birthday's next Sunday, and I'll be 56. I'm going from Isaiah 55 to Isaiah 56. As the rain and snow come down, well, does it return unto the Lord without replenishing and the earth, so does my word that goes forth from my mouth. That's Isaiah 56:10, isn't it? Woo-hoo-hoo! See, God's word does not return void. It succeeds in the matter in which he sent it out to accomplish. So we go from, hey, is anyone thirsty? Isaiah 55 to Isaiah 56, verse 10. Okay, so let's go here. Let's go. I'm going to share a verse with you. If you don't mind, I'd like to go. And I've been reading the New Living Translation of the Bible. And this is the time of year where I really like to, I do my best to try to quiet myself. That's kind of hard. You can ask my wife. But I do try to quiet myself. And I always ask the Lord, God, what's coming up? I mean, I do that a lot. But this is the time of year where I always like to say, what's coming up in the next year? And so in 2016, for 2017, I did this last fall, and just very simply, I said, Lord, what's up for 2017? And I heard my father say, prophetic surprises. And I'm thinking, wow, prophetic surprises, okay. And then I came across this scripture. In 2 John 1:12, right? 2 John 1:12. Now we know, there's Big John, and then there's three little Johns, and then there's Book of Revelation. John wrote all of those books, right? And so this is one of the letters that John wrote to a church that was around Asia Minor at that time, which was modern-day Turkey. And so we know that the author here is speaking to a group that were listening at that time. Verse 12, this is John saying to them, he says, I have much more I want to say to you, but I do not want to do it with paper and ink, for I hope to visit you soon and talk to you face to face, then our joy will be made complete. So in essence, one of the ways that the apostles communicated to the churches that they planted or the churches that they maintained relationship through was through paper and ink. That's how we got the Bible. They were letters that were written to various churches. Now, how many of you know that I could hear God in this verse? How many of you know I can hear God in this verse? And I hope that you can hear God in this verse too. And when I read this verse, it lifted off to me. It kind of lifted off. And what I got from this verse is that my Heavenly Father wanted to come and talk to me, but he didn't want to do it through paper and ink, okay? Which is the word which you cannot change, right? You cannot add to his word or change his word. But this is the foundation or the vocabulary in which God speaks to us. And so right away, my attention was captivated. I got so excited. I thought, okay, one of the things that I've struggled with is hearing the voice of God. It's one of those areas in my life where at times you hear somebody come up front and they give a testimony about how they heard God speak to them. And I would just crumble. I'd be so intimidated by that. I would just kind of like want to crawl under my seat or just, okay, there's the door. I better go home now because that's just not ever going to be me. And my wife knows the struggle. When I'd say, I don't know what that's like. I don't know what that would be like to really hear God tell me something. Even from the beginning. Now, I know God talks, because I have heard his voice. as much as I would not want to care to admit it. Because once you do hear his voice, then you're accountable for what he says. Yeah. I mean, I've heard God from the beginning of my journey, right? And I can remember as a brand new believer, I said, God, okay, I hear what you're saying. I know what it says, right? My sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me. I know what it says today. If you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. Those are all biblical things. And you shall have a voice behind you saying, this is the way of walking. Those who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the ones. I know all that. And so I said from the beginning, God, if you choose, you don't have to, but if you choose, I would like it to be from here. And you know what? He did that. My father was so gentle and so patient that times I heard God was through here. And then 80% of the time was through worship when I'd heard something that was quickened to the written page. And I knew I was hearing from God because I couldn't do what I'm doing and have done if I wasn't hearing from God. And of course, we have accountability. We have good leaders around us and good mentors and good spiritual fathers and mothers and wonderful counselors that would help us to kind of tweak it a little bit here and there and make sure that we are hearing from God, made ourselves accountable to others, and have had corrected times. No, don't do that. Or you ought to pray about that one a little bit longer. And we acquiesced and said, okay, you're right. And so if you want to have authority, you have to be an authority, right? So what I got from this verse is that my father wanted to talk to me. Not through ink, but he wanted to have face-to-face encounters. So I'm thought, okay, this is exciting. And so one day, leading up to the end of last year, I was working in my little office. We have a third bedroom in our home, and that's kind of my place. It's kind of come sometimes my man cave, and I used to put my fly tying vise up there, and kind of then feathers got everywhere, and I didn't like that. So I moved that to the basement, but. And so now that's my study time. And so one day I was in there working and reading and praying and just doing stuff, answering emails and stuff. And I heard something. I heard something fall, like fell. And so I looked around. I looked around and I did a quick look around the office thing. I don't see anything that's out of place. Nothing seemed to be, all the books are on the shelf and everything. And so I just moved on. I moved on, the new year comes, we're into the new year, it's 2017, and we're involved in a group called Sunburn Encounters. It was a ministry that's been under First Light International for the last 2 years. We helped them into their incorporation process, which we just got approved, and Michael Lamb was very helpful in helping me with the 1023 form and all that stuff, so we got approved, thank God. So, involved with Sunburn, if you want to go online, you can look at all their videos, and pretty crazy group. Love God. I mean, they're out there, and it's good because that's where God is. God is out there too. And so in beginning of this year, there was a guy who came and did one of their encounters, Brian Gurin. He has a ministry called Bridal Glory, and this guy talks a lot about encounters, as Pastor John prayed this morning, just encounters and walks through scriptures and times God encountered people and things. And so as Brian's sharing in our School of Passion on Thursday night, as he was sharing, all of a sudden, I'm sitting there listening to him, and in my mind, right, my mind goes to the experience that I had in my study when I heard something fall. And all of a sudden, I thought, what is it? And so I'm thinking, as he's talking, I'm thinking, God says to me, I want to start talking to you about things behind closed doors. Right away, boom, downloads are coming. I don't hear that. I don't hear God that clear all the time. Boom, things are happening. I could not wait till that thing was over to find out what was it that fell. A microphone cable. A microphone cable fell in my closet. And so the Lord says to me, I want to talk to you. I'm not kidding. I want to talk to you. And I've held this. I've held this in my secret place. I'm thinking, God, you want to talk to me. You want to talk to me. You want to talk to me. And you know what? I have stuff on my phone, which I won't share, that he says. and he tells me things. And some are some pretty profound stuff. And some pretty cool things that God's talking about. And we're going to get to Psalm 2 in a minute. And so this goes on. This goes on. The year starts unfolding. Life starts happening. We're traveling all around. And I come across a scripture in Psalm chapter 2, which I'll get to, where Well, let's just go there now, just for a second. And I'm going to, because this is really important, because I don't want to miss this point too. Let's go to Psalm 2. And we're going to come back here and end up here. Hope you're not getting bored yet. Right? Psalm 2. And I'm going to jump in and just go to verse 7. Just one verse, just for a second. I came across this verse in that season. It says this. Yes, verse 7. It says, the king proclaims the Lord's decree. The Lord said to me, you are my son. Today I have become your father. Now, I have read that the last 30 years. I used to read the book of Proverbs and five Psalms every day for the last, I don't know how many years. And, you know, there are times you kind of look at that verse and you think, okay, God's saying something. And I ended up getting a bunch of things in my journal on it. And so this verse came to me during this time. Okay, God's reaffirming, he's reconfirming that he wants to be my father. And there's another guy that we kind of hang with. His name is John Paul Sprecher, part of SCAPC. And John Paul has adopted Debbie and I'm not quite sure why, but he brings healing to my soul. And John Paul wants me to help him and Debbie and I to help he and Paula to establish the Asia Fathering Center. And we've done some things in Bangkok with him and are doing some things. And one of the things that John Paul did at the School of Passion is he asked us to pray a prayer, if we were brave enough to pray this prayer, is that we would intentionally ask God to parent us. That we would ask God to parent us. And so I did, and I really meant it. I mean, there are some prayers you pray, and there are some that you pray. And this one I really meant. And it came right around this time that it confirmed these verses. And so shortly after that, I had to go to Seattle to visit Josiah. This was in May. And man, I can't wait to see him. So I'm walking through, coming home. It was kind of a stressful visit. It was kind of good, and there was some stress there. And so I was debriefing. I'm going through the Houston airport, and I'm feeling so far away from my father, just feeling so burdened in so many areas. And you and I know what that's like. And so I said, God, what's up? What's up? And, you know, that sensitivity and, you know, and you were doing so well in the beginning of the year. And, you know, what happened? And all of a sudden, I'm walking, and these are right in front of me on the ground, Houston Airport. Yes. And I pick them up. They're headphones. Yes. I mean, very expensive ones. Yeah, they're Bluetooth yeah, ones. Cool. And so I picked them up, and right away I stopped, Houston Airport, looked around. I went like this to a couple of people. They're like, no, no. Looking around, and so I was trying to find an information counter in one of the corridors there, and I didn't see one. So I just stood on the side and got a coffee from Starbucks. I just watched and thought, someone comes back, I'll give it to them. No one came back. And so I picked them up, and I put them in my bag. And so on the plane from Houston to Pittsburgh, the idea just came back to me, right? Now, Bill Johnson says everything is spiritual. So I'm saying, God, what is this? And the Lord says to me, you've dropped your hearing. You've dropped your hearing. So right away, I got home, put him on my little thing in my office there right next to my microphone cable. And so now God starts talking to me again. And so I got some stuff, and now I'm back with my father, hearing his voice again, and walking with the Lord. Everything's doing well. And then one day I had some time, and I said to Debbie, she says, what's up with you? She says, what are you doing? I said, you know, I feel like the Lord wants me to go back up in that closet, and I'm supposed to dig some things out of that closet that I found that microphone cable. I just have this in my spirit that there's more things in there. She goes, well, you better get up there and do that. Right? Okay, right up there. And so I got my worship things on. I got my songs on. I said, okay, Lord, what is it you want to show me? And it's a real small cupboard. So I start pulling the stuff out. So I see a book on communication in marriage. I thought, okay, need that. Amen. Got that. Looked around some more. Got that. Okay. Got that one. And then there was a prayer guide for Thailand. We had a prayer team that was coming over in July. I thought, okay, that's one for Bangkok. Okay, I got that one. And there was a few other things, and I'm looking, and nothing was really striking. And all of a sudden, to the top shelf, and I thought, nah, you know, there's probably nothing up there. And so all of a sudden, I move the box, and there's a lid of another box. And this box says, what's on your mind? What's on your mind? And I just burst into tears again. That closet is getting me. What's on your mind? Now, if you're like me, which you probably are, let's go to Psalm 2. And I want to finish off this morning in Psalm 2. Now, this psalm can be, there's some double prophetic meanings in these verses that we're going to look at. So, it's a very short psalm. It's only 12 verses, so let's just read the whole chapter. It says here, "Why are the nations so angry? Why do the people waste their time with futile plans? The kings of the earth prepare for battle. The rulers plot together against the Lord and against his anointed one." Verse 3, "Let us break their chains," they cry, "and free ourselves from slavery to God." But the one who rules in heaven's laughs, the Lord scoffs at them. Then in his anger, he rebukes them, terrifying them with fierce anger. Verse 6, For the Lord declares, "I have placed my chosen king on the throne in Jerusalem on my holy mountain." Verse 7, "The Lord proclaims the Lord's decree. The Lord said to me, 'You are my son. Today I become your father.' Only ask, and I will give the nations as your inheritance, the whole earth as your own possessions. You will break them with a rod of iron and smash them like clay pots. Verse 10, "Now then, you kings, act wisely. Be warned, you rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with reverence, fear, and rejoice with trembling." Verse 12, "Submit to God's royal son, or he will be angry, and he will destroy, and you will be destroyed in the midst of your activities. For his anger flares up in an instant, but what joy for those who take refuge in him." Now, it doesn't take much to figure out that you could look in verse 1 and verse 2, and this could have been written in yesterday's news. Because the nations of the earth are taking their stance against the Lord and against his anointed, or against his Christ. Now, who's that? That's Jesus. Jesus is the anointed one of God. Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And it says here that these nations, and we know that Jesus predicted a lot of things in Matthew 24, Matthew 25, Luke 13, Mark 13, Luke 21, all descriptions of things that were going to take place. And it's Jesus even said that there were some of them there at that day that would not see death until some of those things started to happen. Now, we can do, which we're not going to, but if we were to do a history of the history of wars, there'd be quite a lot of wars throughout all of history. So this verse could sort of fit into, if you want to look at a prophetic timeline, there probably really isn't one. But we can look and we can see that something is happening. And it says in verse 3 that all these rulers, these nations, these kings are saying, "Let us cast off the constraint," right? "Let us break their chains," they cry, "and free ourselves from slavery to God." So basically, the nations are trying to throw off the sovereignty of God. Guess what? Newsflash, it doesn't work. It's not going to work. Now, Jesus said, "He who believes in me and the one who sent me shall see life," or have life, "but he who doesn't, the wrath of God abides on him." John chapter 3. So we can see that there's like this struggle going on between the nations of the earth and the sovereignty and the will of God. They're trying to throw off the will of God. And right in the midst of this, and I love this part, right in the midst of this, God starts talking. He says, well, we don't want to get into it. He sits in the heavens, he laughs, he scoffs, he rebukes. We can make a list of what the Lord does. But in verse 6, it says, "The Lord declares, I have placed my chosen king on the throne in Jerusalem on my holy mountain." Now, there's a physical description that the Lord is going to do and has done. And we can also make a connection to the heavenly Jerusalem that's going to come. But he says this, he says, verse 7, then it says, "The king First, the Lord declares in verse 6, in Jerusalem, on my throne, on my holy mountain, I will install my king. Now, obviously, that's a direct reference to the lordship of Jesus Christ. Direct reference to that. And this is where we can find a double fulfillment in the principle of prophecy in Scripture. Because, obviously, he's talking about King David at that time. Right? David was the king of God after God's own heart. Saul was the man's choice. David was more of God's choice. So we can see that this is definitely a direct reference to David. And we know that David ruled from Jerusalem. He ruled from Hebron. He ruled from Jerusalem. We know that David went through three anointings in his life. One was when he went after Goliath. The Spirit of God came upon him. We know that David in 2 Samuel chapter 4, Judah anoints him king over Judah. And then later he becomes king over all of Israel and Judah and unites it and rules from Jerusalem. So this is a direct reference to David. But it's also a direct reference to Jesus. We can find that, yeah, as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But let's look here for a second here. He says in verse 7, the king declares the Lord's decree. So what is the Lord's decree? What did the Lord decree? So verse 6 says, the Lord declares, God declares something. And then verse 7, it says, the king proclaims the Lord's decree. Now, the question is, what is the Lord's decree? Well, then he says what the Lord's decree is. The Lord said to me, you are my son. Today, I have become your father. Now, I have been studying the scriptures for the last 30 years, and I have concluded that this verse captures the whole Bible in one verse. I'm a real Bible scholar, ain't I? I mean, this encapsulates what's on God's heart from the beginning of time. And we can see that right in the middle of these verses, right in the middle of the nations trying to throw off the constraint, trying to throw off slavery to God, God says, in Jerusalem, on a throne, on my holy mountain, I have installed my king and will install my king. And the king proclaims the Lord's decree. What is the Lord's decree? The Lord has said to me, today, or I am your father, today you become my son. Now, there are two places in the New Testament we know that God spoke audibly from heaven. Do you know where they are? Do you know where they were? Well, the first one was Jesus' water baptism. Luke chapter 3, right around verse 20 through 24, somewhere around there. It says that while all the people were being baptized, that Jesus himself was being baptized. It says that while he was in the Jordan, while he was praying, heaven opened. A cloud formed, the voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Isn't that exciting? Yes. God spoke. The second time God spoke was in Mark chapter 9 when Jesus went up to the Mount of Transfiguration with Peter, James, and John. And it says that while he was up there, his garments became exceeding white. He was transfigured, transformed right in front of them. And there appeared to Jesus, with Jesus, Elijah and Moses. And they were discussing to with each other about the things that were being accomplished in Jerusalem, which Jesus was going to go there and die. And so Moses represents the law. Elisha represents the prophets. Jesus is the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. He was the word that became flesh and dwelt among us. And they're discussing. And what does Peter, James, and John say? Well, they say, Lord, this is really good for us to be here. Shall we make three tabernacles? And that would have been kind of exciting, right? To see that, to try to enshrine that. That's not going to work, is it? But then what happened? Then a voice came. This is my son. Hear ye him. Meaning, he's the fulfillment of the law and prophets. And all of a sudden, Jesus and Moses and Elijah, they disappeared. And that's the decree that came. This is my son. Hear him. This is my son. Hear him. In the last days, God spoke to us in his son. Hebrews chapter 1. And so for me, I found my verse. I have found my life's verse. This is my life's verse right here. And I am pushing this, and I am prodding this, and I'm learning how to be a son. I'm learning how to be God's favored son. I'm learning how. You know what? You're God's favored son also. You are God's beloved just as much as I am. And if there's one thing that God is doing, is that he's highlighting our identities. Because if you're like me, I'm a missionary, I'd have to be the last person that takes the last track to the last person on earth before Jesus comes back. You know what that does? That wears you out. And it's a good motivation, but is that what my Father wants me to do? Because Jesus only did those things that he saw his Father do. It says the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself is doing. And greater things these shall he show you, that you may marvel. And so there's so much more. Now that doesn't abandon my mission call. I cannot wait to get on the next plane and go, which will be 2 days after Thanksgiving. Heading up to China to do some training with Chuck Lenhart and some of the Bible schools that he has going on there. And so I'm on a mission right here. I'm on a mission to learn how to be God's son. And learn how, you know, it's like I heard one man say it this way. Back in the day, let's say 60s, 70s, 80s, you heard a lot of references about God's anointing. Sensing the anointing. Benny Hinn, Reinhard Bonnke, the anointing and healing. Man, we lived in that glory. We lived in that day. And sensing the anointing. And we have an anointing from the Holy One who's called you. And all of that. We learned about the anointing. Then there was the whole gifts of the Spirit that swept through in the late 80s, 90s about what is your gift and all of that. And then we heard about the teaching gift. Everybody's running around listening to conferences and all the teachers and the word and the prophets and apostles began to speak. And so that was about the gifts. So you had the anointings. Now, then you had the gifts. But now what we're learning is it's about the glory. Why? Because when you have an anointing, there's still flesh. When you have a gift, it's still flesh. But when you have the glory, it's all about him. And I just want to live for that moment because Jesus says, Father, the glory which thou hast given me, I have given to them. And Father, I desire that those whom thou hast given me be where I am so that they might behold my glory. And so Moses said that, or the Apostle Paul talks about Moses had to put a veil over his face. Paul says that we with unveiled face are beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, being transformed into that image from glory to glory to glory. And I want to encourage you just to re-examine and to re-look at different things that we've learned, and don't throw it all out, but maybe God wants to re-emphasize something. I'm in a place now where I'm looking back and saying, do I still believe the things I believed 30 years ago? I'm sure many, many ways I still do believe, but how far have I moved into a more fuller revelation, or what's not relevant anymore? Doesn't mean it's not a still a belief. It doesn't mean it's still not biblical. It's just that I've moved from that. The goalposts don't move. It's just that we're kind of moving into other things. And so I'm having fun reading and writing and studying and learning how to do this in a more tangible kind of way. And I want you to just to look at these verses again and take it into your own heart. Or where David says, Lord, examine me and see if there be any wicked way in me. Lead me in the everlasting way. God, is there something in here that you want to adjust in my life? And I feel like for the church, I feel like things that taken place in 2017 were some very, very significant things. I have no idea what that means. I don't know what that means for your life personally. But I feel like this is going to be like a memorial year for you. Like you'll be able to look back and say, this is a milestone for us. Something happened in 2017. And you might be able to list a few to say, okay, this was different. This now positions me for something greater in the future. It's like when it's almost like a crossing over, if I can even say that. Like when they crossed over, they took stones in the book of Joshua. They took 12 stones that were on the bank, and they put them in the Jordan River, and they took 12 stones from the Jordan River, and they put them on the bank, because they said, because your children in the next generation are going to ask, what do these stones mean? And I feel like for you, that 2017, you're going to have some memorial stones. You better look back and say, okay, this was a good year for us. Now, Pastor John, do you have a briefcase?
Yes.
Do you carry a briefcase? Do you use it? Okay. When was the last time?
Friday.
Oh, wow. That's not too long ago. I'm thinking, man, I must have really missed it. But you're standing over here worshiping today, and right above your head, in my mind's eye, I saw a hand that was writing. And the book of Psalms says that my tongue is the pen of a ready writer, and I will recite my verses to the king. And I don't know if you're doing any kind of journaling or writing, but I feel like the Lord is something's being recorded in heaven for you. And I say this with all the grace in my heart, but the angel of the Lord is delivering to you a new word. And you're going to take that briefcase. And I think that briefcase signifies something in this next season for you, that you're carrying something from heaven that's coming straight from your heavenly Father. And I don't want to scare you when I say this, but there's some angelic help that's taking notice of this. And it says that the Lord sends out his command and his word runs very swiftly. And the angels that hearken unto the voice of his word. And I feel like this next season, you're gonna experience some of that. If I say that with such grace, I want to say that with such grace in my heart. And so be expecting that, okay? Does that help you?
Amen.
Can I just pray for you guys?
Yes, indeed.
Father, I thank you for this amazing friendship and this wonderful couple and the pastor, leaders of this church. And I so much appreciate all that you're doing in their life, all that you're doing in their ministry. Lord, that new season that's coming to them and Acts Community Church, Lord, all that Kim's involved with autism, and Lord, just sending up the center and all that's happening there in China and elsewhere. And I just want to pray a blessing over them as they continue to steward the presence of God, continue to steward the move of your Spirit in this season at this time. And I thank you, Lord, that what John carries with him is something tangible. It's real. Lord, that heaven weighs upon him heavily. And Lord, that people are going to begin to see it and experience it. And I feel like the scripture says that surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I feel like for both of you as a couple, that I can see all this stuff, all this growth that's behind you, that's springing up from behind you, even in some very parched ground, even as it says in Isaiah 53, that Jesus grew up as a tender shoot out of a parched ground. And so the Lord is saying that you've planted some seeds, you've done your work, you've done the hard work, and now those seeds that have been planted in former seasons are now springing up. And surely goodness and mercy are following you. You're going to see it, and you're actually going to overtake you as you experience the goodness of God in this next season. So, Father, I bless them. I bless this congregation in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.